Welcome to Back to the Monday Night Wars. It is May 12th, 1997, and this is the go-home episode for Slamboree when it comes to WCW. So, I'm Cav Manning, and I'm going to take you through everything that happened this week. We are still on 1 hour when it comes to Nitro, so it's a real quick show, and right away, you get Buffer as the ring announcer, Michael Buffer out there. I remember being like, God damn it, they have this, which, because he was a big deal back in the day, and I was like, this is bullshit that they get, you know, a name out there like this. So I was fucking aggravated at this point because they were kicking WWE's ass, as usual. Right off the bat, you get the Macho Man speaking in the ring.
Oh, yeah! I am healed, yeah! Last week, when DDP attacked me from behind, it pumped up my adrenaline, and I slapped him so hard that he's gotta use my crutches. If he's here, tell him to hobble down right now, and I'll slap him Hollywood style. Digga, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
A challenge for the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Welcome, everyone, to WCW Monday Nitro. We are live from Baltimore.
After that, we get Juventud Guerrero versus Ultimo Dragon, who was on a tear at the time. Dragon was actually getting quite the push at this point. He was undercover, kind of like kicking everyone's ass all the time, it seemed. He would win nearly every match. After that, you get Mean Gene Okerlund in the ring with Ric Flair, Kevin Green, and Rowdy Roddy Piper. The NWO show up on the screen. They didn't have a Tron. So they were on just like up in the rafters, one of those, you know, big TVs, but not a fucking Tron. And this is the setup for the main event at Slamboree.
Hometown for these men. Kevin Green, I know you are chomping at the bit. The NWO this Sunday at Slamboree.
I tell you what, Gene, I'm going to keep this short and simple. I have never lost in Charlotte. I'm undefeated. NWO, there's three things in this world that are definitive. They're cut and they're dry. Three things you can put in the bank. One, you gotta pay some taxes. Two, eventually you're gonna die. And three, in Charlotte, Slamboree, I am going to break my foot off in your ass.
I don't think he can say foot, Ric Flair.
Me!
Woo!
Charlotte, North Carolina, Sunday night, Hall, Nash, Six, count on it, the Hot Rod, the Nature Boy, KG will be there. Woo! Live!
Roddy Piper, I know this is one that would be a personal vendetta for you because what these men have said about you in the past.
Boy, have I had some fights in this building! Outsiders, NWO saying they're the big lions. Lions, tigers, bears. This is not the Wizard of Oz, and I ain't Dorothy. You want to talk about me being a dinosaur? Yes, I'm a dinosaur. Yes, I'm a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And in Charlotte, I'm going to be starving.
Hey, Piper.
Yeah, Piper.
Hey, Piper.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Piper.
Right there.
Hey, Piper, you so hungry? Well, I know where there's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and it's right down here.
Down where?
Right here!
He's been around Charlotte.
Hey, greetings from Charlotte.
Woo!
Hey,
Nature Boy. Guess what your old lady's doing when you're out of town first thing in the morning, pal?
What's up, man?
She's leaving my hotel.
He didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, he did.
You know, we wish we could be there in Baltimore, but there wasn't enough cheese to go with all that wine, if you know what I mean. Because you two dinosaurs have been whining about how the wolf pack don't respect you.
And we don't.
Well, you're right. And after Sunday, right here in Charlotte, you're going to have plenty to whine about because we're going to snuff you out.
Yeah, one last thing. You know, Green, you ain't going to be able to show your face in Charlotte. You might as well get traded. But you know what? Since we're calling the shots, as we always do, guess what, boys? The rules have changed. Because in Charlotte, next Sunday, no DQ, no count out. Somebody's getting beat in the middle.
He may not be able to show his face.
NWO, baby.
He might show his foot, though. Tony, back to you. Oh, what a roundhouse that's going to be.
Well, then we get Mongo versus Dean Malenko. Not for the U.S. title. And Reggie White shows up. And it's fucking absolutely awful. I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to rewatching this match that's going to happen at Slamboree between Reggie and Mongo. It's like a big NFL show. It's those two, and then you got Kevin Green. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? After that, after what happens in that match, you hear an explanation by Reggie when he's interviewed by Mean Gene.
All right, Tony, I thank you very much. I'm standing by with Reggie White. We've just seen what's happened, Reggie. You couldn't wait till this Sunday night at Slamboree in Charlotte, North Carolina, to face Steve Mongo McMichael. And apparently, this is a result, sir, of all of these comments that he has not made about you, but the great people of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
You know, Mean Gene, you can talk about me all you want to, but when it comes to my family and the Green Bay fans and the Wisconsin fans, I take it personal.
Or the Baltimore fans.
All the Baltimore fans. All the Philly fans. I take this stuff personal, Mean Gene. If McMichael want to talk about anybody, he can talk about me. But leave the people of Wisconsin out of this.
All right, Reggie White, I'm very curious. You've seen what these people are capable of. Jeff Jarrett in there, and certainly the young lady in that very attractive skirt dress is going to try to distract you. That may be what you're going to be faced with this coming Sunday in Charlotte.
I'm sure they'll do it, but I'm telling you, Green Bay and Chicago has been playing together against each other for years. It's the best rivalry in the game. But this Sunday, we will continue to see that Green Bay will always be better than the Chicago Bears.
All right, there is a little interleague rivalry, if you will. Steve Mongo McMichael already challenging Reggie White, a couple of the football greats colliding head-on. World Championship Wrestling and Slavery this Sunday night in Charlotte. We're going to be right back.
This interview was absolutely nonsense because those Wisconsin fans, I love the people that can't say Wisconsin. They say Wisconsin. I think that's a black thing more than anything else. The Wisconsin fans, don't you badmouth the Wisconsin people. And then Mean Gene has to slide his bullshit in there about, or, you know, the fucking Baltimore fans because they're in Baltimore. Nobody said anything about fucking Baltimore. But you try to get the fucking heat on a bad guy. So, yeah, I'm defending the Baltimore fans. Well, motherfucker, nobody said anything about Baltimore, you fucking wacko. After that, you get James Vandenberg. He introduces the new guy he has where he's on the way to the ring talking and he's like, you'll hear it here. But it's, oh, I brought a new guy here. Nobody knows who he is. Everyone's been wondering who my mystery man is. You'd almost think someone else was showing up because we've seen old Adam Bomb come out for the last couple of weeks. But here is his official introduction.
For weeks, you've speculated about the identity of our mysterious ally. And you've seen exactly what he can do tonight. I reveal his name. I have signed the most dangerous man in the history of pro wrestling. Now stare in awe as I unleash the Wrath.
This is followed up by Alex Wright and the Ice Train versus Conan and Hugh Morris. Alex Wright is then pissed off because they lose, and he's turning bad guy. He's out of the fucking blue. He's like on the floor, walking away. You know, like fuck this. You know, why am I? He goes, oh, you know how the men love me, and oh, look at me. The women fucking can't get enough. Look at me, how good I look. It's like out of nowhere. There's no rhyme or reason. He loses a match, and all of a sudden, they start saying how all the women want to fuck him. This is WCW. The last two clips are back-to-back here, and we'll be done with Nitro, because it's backstage. The NWO beats up Roddy Piper, and then Bischoff calls Sting to the ring for an interview. Yeah, okay, and you know, fake Sting's going to show up, but then real Sting.
Wait a minute,
what's going on?
We're looking
backstage
last week, but something is going on in the backstage area. We have dispatched a cameraman right now, and you are following the cameraman now back as something is going on live. We've been told by our backstage producers to go back. We must see this, and you are looking live right now. Where are we going here?
Let me out!
Well, that was six.
That's Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
Piper's down. He's holding his hip.
Roddy Piper holding his hip. He's down. They were in Charlotte.
That hip was the one he had an operation on.
Security getting to Piper, but he is in an exorbitant amount of pain here.
Get on out of here.
All right. Look at the dressing room. It's trash. They must have beat him up in there pretty bad.
Fans, we've got to step out for a commercial break.
These people too, man. Get me that air sick bag.
He's got his own mic cube.
Makes me want to cry. What's a mic cube?
That's
a
cube.
The love
on the mic.
I feel here tonight. And to think, this is where it all started. Man. But I promised the world that they wanted to hear from Sting. He promised. I'm a man of my word.
Right.
He's looking up. I'm looking up. You want him? You want to hear Sting talk for the first time in months? Well, so do I, because I want to know where he was last week when we were looking for him. So without any further ado, let's bring him out now. Sting!
Well, that's his music.
Check the ceiling. Check under the table. Wait a minute.
Yeah, it's another bogus NWO.
This is another New World Order ripoff. Fiasco. It's another Bischoff blunder. That's not Sting. That's Sting.
And the fans are not buying it either here. We should have known.
You know, I thought something fishy when you read the memo about Sting calling Eric. I knew Sting wouldn't call Bischoff. You did not need to bring that bat. This is an interview, and I'm acting as an announcer. You could have left that home.
It's getting deep.
They want to hear what you have to say. These are your people. Half of them anyway. But what I want to know, the truth. Isn't it true that throughout your wrestling career, you have been compared to, even by members of your own family, you have been compared to Hollywood Hogan? True or not true? And isn't it true that the people that make those comparisons believe that you will never, ever accomplish what Hollywood Hogan has accomplished in this industry. And is it true that way down deep inside, in places where no one can see, that you really know, you know, that you will never measure up to Hollywood Hogan? True or not true?
Oh, do we really have to watch this garbage?
Crying out loud.
Something's happening.
Wait a minute.
Something is happening.
Yeah, you're not kidding, it is.
We got another Sting.
The real Sting is here. He's here live.
And now interview him, Bischoff.
That's right. Hold the microphone now.
Come on, get Mickey Mantle out of there and interview him.
Sting must be nuts to get in there unarmed.
He's not unarmed.
He's got an extra arm.
He's got the big bat. A little BP out here right now.
A home run derby.
We want to hear what he has to say.
Oh! And that takes care of Sting. Look at Bischoff powering.
Scorpion death drop. He's gone.
If you're smart, Eric, run for your life.
Yeah, go get the rest of the cheese with the rest of the rats.
Look, he turns his back on Bischoff. And there goes Eric Bischoff. No. How about the interview? What about this interview? Come on back here.
Oh, stop it. A coward's gone with the wind.
So that is your go-home show to Slamboree. And now we'll have to get into Raw. And Raw's been very good. I mean, it's a lot of Austin. That's for sure. Austin is like so the main focus. I mean, Vince has even said Austin will be here throughout the show, as he's like it's during all three segments here, like from front, middle, and end, constantly with Austin trying to keep that audience. This is the day after Cold Day in Hell, and they do the review of that. And then we get Brett on the stage. And he talks about having a surprise for tonight. And he's very upset by the crowd booing him.
You know, I've surrounded myself with the best that the World Wrestling Federation has to offer. I would take these men into the mouth of hell to fight the devil. I would trust these men to breathe for me and to pump my blood with their hearts. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Davey Boy Smith, my lovable brother Owen, and Brian Pillman. We are the Hart Foundation. Last night, you know, the more I think about it, it's really pathetic that somehow all you people out there are trying to paint me out to be the bad guy. I'm no bad guy. If you really want to know who the bad guys are around here, take a good look at yourselves. You like to cheer on scum. That's what you stand for. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now there's a real hero. This babbling ass, full of warmed over Texas cliches with barnyard overtones. This guy is nothing but a dirty, rotten, stinking hyena. And y'all look at him like he's some kind of a great hero. It's fine and dandy for him to jump everybody from behind and sucker everybody, rotten, stinking cutthroat that he is. And the second he gets a little bit of his own medicine, you people are screaming for justice. What kind of a hero would pick on a guy in a wheelchair? That's what it's come down to, isn't it? Oh, the great American hero. He's got to pick on an invalid, a helpless guy. What am I supposed to do in a wheelchair? You know, it just makes me sick. The fact of the matter is, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a loser. And he's not very happy that he lost the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt. Your great American hero couldn't even win it one time. But he shouldn't worry too much about that. Because as far as the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt goes, The Undertaker, another great American hero, he needn't get too attached to that championship belt, because sooner or later, we're going to have it right up here with all the rest of the glittering gold that the Hart Foundation has. Hey, there's no guilt or innocence in the World Wrestling Federation anymore. Wake up. Now, there's something I want to say. I want to say one thing. It's something that I haven't talked about with the Hart Foundation. It's going to be a shock to you guys. It's going to be a shock to all you imbeciles out there. It's going to be a shock to all my fans everywhere around the world. And it's going to be a big surprise for my family and a shock for everybody. And I just wanted to say that the biggest surprise, and if you people just shut up, okay, that's it. Let's go.
Well, Bret the Hitman Hart says he's gonna provide us with a big surprise right here tonight on WWF Raw. And I tell you one thing, that's not all we've got for you. Hi again, everybody. I'm good old JR alongside the King, Jerry Lawler.
So it's the first round of the King of the Ring, and you get Triple H versus Ahmed Johnson. There is a DQ, and because China hits Ahmed with a chair. And it's very interesting because this is the time that, if you remember from China's book, and been said many times that Ahmed said, "I ain't gonna let no bitch hit me." Like, he won't sell shit. And it shows up a lot in this match because she hits him with the chair. And, you know, he's like, nothing fazes him, doesn't sell that shit for anything. And then he runs up the ramp to beat up Triple H. And he's on top of Triple H, and China's kicking him while he's beating up Triple H. No sell, like she wasn't even fucking there, and she's kicking him. Then she just grabs a fucking rear chin lock and starts fucking choking him out to where he kind of has to fucking, she pulls his ass off of Triple H. So he's kind of got to, but I'm like, oh, fuck, he was one of these, you know, oh, God forbid, you know, you let, I can't show that a woman fucking manhandled me. Yeah, we all think this is real. After that, you get a clip of Austin having an interview in the ring with Vince.
All right. First of all, I'd like to say what everybody else is thinking. And I'd like to say it in the way that you would say it. Last night was one hell of a match.
You're damn right it was a hell of a match, but the last thing I need right now is for you to come out here and start kissing up to me, because I'll knock your head right off your damn neck.
He'll do it too. I wish he would.
Concerned, I ain't gonna make no excuses about what happened last night. Things got a little out of hand. I got dumped on my head, and The Undertaker won the match. But this is the point. Steve Austin, sooner or later, will be the world champion. And if I say it, you can damn well bet it's gonna come true, and that's all I got to say about that.
It looks like you brought yourself a little souvenir with you tonight.
I got a little souvenir from Bret Hart. And if he's got the guts to come out here and take it from me, all he's got to do is roll his little ass on down and see what kind of luck he has. Bret, you come out here and you say you tried to be a hero. You tried to be what the people wanted you to be. You are a liar. You are the Judas Priest. You are a complete piece of human trash. Your little heart foundation that follows you around wherever you go, it's like a snake. You know anything about snakes, son? Have you ever killed a snake? Have you ever seen a snake in person?
I'd prefer not to comment on that.
It's because you're a chicken. I know all about snakes. And if you want to kill a snake, the fastest way to kill a damn thing is to get you a shovel and chop the head off. Bret Hart is the head of the snake. And if it would be the easiest thing for me to do, that's exactly what I do, because I can take Bret out with the snap of my fingers and everybody knows it.
I guess so, he's in a wheelchair.
But what I'm gonna do, instead of being all business and going straight ahead, I'm gonna have a little fun with it, because this time I ain't gonna chop the snake's head off and just end it like that. I'm gonna start with the snake's ass.
What?
And you ain't gotta look around with a questionable look on your face, because if there is an ass to the snake machine of the Hart Foundation, the snake's ass is Brian Pillman.
Uh-oh.
Brian Pillman, I crippled your sorry carcass once before. And for years and years in the Bush Leagues, I carried you right in my back pocket. But when the bell rings and you look across the ring in the eyes of Stone Cold Steve Austin, you will know that your ass is mine. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Leave Cassidy versus the debuting Scott Putski, Ivan Putski's son. Great body on the guy, but he's fucking awful. This doesn't last long, because I remember he dislocates his patella during a pay-per-view. I don't know if it's the next pay-per-view, but I don't think we ever see him again after that actually happens, because he does not continue the match, and back then, God forbid. He wins the match, obviously, PG-13, Wolfie D, and, I like to say Fresh Kid Ice, JC Ice versus LOD. this is the last time we see them. I don't know if forever, but they're gone. I think that was like the writing them out thing, and they're done after this because LOD, of course, kills them. Two clips here back to back, and it is Mankind and a burned Paul Bearer talking. And then Farouk interview with Vince, and they go into the whole race car thing these next couple weeks is yelling about no black guy's been champion. Good timing with that since all the shit that's been going on lately.
And several weeks ago, I brought forth to The Undertaker a great wall of flame, and the fire had encircled his head like a wreath. My goal was to permanently scar The Undertaker. I was not completely successful. And in your house, Revenge of the Taker, I vowed to finish the job. Now let me make one thing perfectly clear to you, Undertaker. If you have a problem with what I've done, I'm a big boy. Take it out on me. But instead, you took the coward's way out. You took a man who loved you. My Uncle Paul. A defenseless man. And you ruined him physically for the rest of his life. Uncle Paul is here tonight, but he's self-conscious about his appearance. So I am asking all of you to show some respect and show some compassion while I bring out my Uncle Paul.
Good luck on getting compassion out of these morons.
It's okay, Uncle Paul. It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Uncle Paul, I know you've been concealing a terrible secret. I know you have some news that will shock the world. And the truth shall set you free. Spread the news, Uncle Paul. Spread the news.
The fire, Undertaker! The fire that singed my face and put me in the hospital! The pain, the sacred bond that we had between each other, that bond has been seared, Undertaker! Cameraman, put that camera close to my eyes, because you remember, Undertaker. Oh, yes, you do. I'm going to give you one more chance. One more chance for us to get back together. For me.
No more chances, Uncle Paul. Tell us now.
I have to do this. I have to do this. One more chance, Undertaker. If you do not accept this final offer, I'm going to do something that only you know, Undertaker. A secret that only you know. But I will reveal it to the whole world. It is a secret that I made while I was standing over the graveside of your mother and father. You heard me, Undertaker. Come back. Or I'm going to hurt you.
Undertaker, you have been forewarned. Have a nice day.
Man, well, it certainly was a sacrifice, to say the least.
Well,
how does it feel
to be the number one contender for the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
Oh, it feels great. I shouldn't have to tell you how it feels. You've seen number one contenders come out here before. Our man Johnson gave it everything he had last night, but no, that wasn't good enough. You know, that was then, and this is now. And I'll tell you what time it is now. It's time for Farooq to become the World Wrestling Federation champion. And speaking of that, let me ask you a long-awaited question. When was the last time that the World Wrestling Federation had a black man to wear that belt? Can you answer that for me? Answer that question.
Never.
No, you can't answer that. You know why? Because there never has been one. Oh, you've had token blacks in position of intercontinental champion like Ahmed Johnson for a short period of time. Oh, you've had U.S. champions like Bobo Brazil with the U.S. belt for a short period of time. No, I'll tell you what. And speaking of that, when was the recent chance that Ahmed Johnson had a shot to become the World Wrestling Federation champion? Tell me that. Can you answer that? No, you can't, because you people don't feel a black man is worthy of wearing the World Wrestling Federation title. You don't feel a black man is worthy of being champion of the WWF. But you do feel a black man is worthy of washing your car. You do feel a black man is worthy of washing your clothes. You do think a black man is worthy of even raising your kids. But let me tell you something. Those were those days, and this is a different day and age. You see, no longer are we marching up and down the street wearing our shoes. No longer are we calling radio stations complaining. We are taking matters into our own hands. When I get to swinging these fists and kicking these feet, you understand that, don't you? Huh? You understand that, right?
Everyone understands that. And this has nothing to do with being black. What's the matter with you?
Oh, it has everything to do with being black. You tell me, when was the last time a black man had a shot at being the World Wrestling Federation champion? There has never been one. But I tell you what, at King of the Ring, King Farooq will live again. Because you see, your white savior, The Undertaker, will be a dead man.
Don't you feel these comments are racist?
Listen, I didn't come out here to be a role model for anybody, but I'll guarantee you this. Some little black kid, a little black girl sitting at home right now, feel the pain and the anger that I feel. No longer are we sitting back being passive. We are going to take matters into our own hands, and that means by any means necessary.
Well, I've really enjoyed Farooq since rewatching all this stuff and just angry and fucking with that voice. Fucking fantastic watching him do all his nation shit. Undertaker, non-title, versus Savio. And the nation beats up Undertaker after he wins. Next clip would be the King talking about the debut of a new guy he's bringing in. And what's fucking funny is the jobber this guy faces is the debuting Jeff Hardy. And it's funny, they say, listen to Howard Finkel when he announces where Jeff Hardy's from, because I think he forgets to, instead of saying Carolina, I think he forgets because he pauses and says Virginia, which, listen, as we know, it's pretty much the same place.
Is scheduled for one fall. About to come down the aisle from Battle Creek, Michigan, weighing 234 pounds, Rob Van Dam. And his opponent from Virginia, weighing 220 pounds, Jeff Hardy.
Give me that microphone, Finkel. Let me tell you something. The last time I saw something look like you, I flushed it. Why don't you go to Vince McMahon and borrow one of his toupees instead of coming in out here and looking like an idiot? Get out of here. Now, all of you morons saw me come out here a few weeks ago and talk a little bit about ECW. Yeah. Extremely crappy wrestling. That's what it stands for. I was the only man that had the guts to tell you idiots the truth about ECW, how much it stinks up until now. Now I've found another man who has actually been in the ECW, and you have come to find out, Rob Van Dam, exactly how low, how cheap, how rotten the ECW is. Is that right?
What you're saying, Jerry Lawler, is complete fact. ECW is nothing but low-budgeted, very low-talented wannabes that cannot hold on to someone with the extreme talents of Rob Van Dam.
That's right, and I'll tell you what, I got so much confidence in this man now that he is in the big time, baby. The World Wrestling Federation, leave those punks behind. This man is gonna be, he's gonna be called Mr. Monday Night. I guarantee you, Mr. Monday Night. Hey, take care of this little John Bon Jovi wannabe, whatever he is right here.
Next, you'll have Goldust versus, or actually, it's the Goldust sit-down interview. Pardon me. Goldust sit-down interview part two. And then we get Undertaker talking on the Titantron.
We are going to take you now, King, to part two of the interview I had the opportunity to conduct with Goldust. And the kid really bears his soul here.
Oh, is that right? I saw a little bit of it while ago. He's crying like a baby. What is he, a man or a sissy? Huh? I thought he's trying to tell the world he's not a sissy. Here he is crying.
Oh, he's a real man.
Yeah.
A family man. Here's part two.
Last week, we learned that the creation of Goldust was a direct result of Dustin Runnels' lifelong journey to escape his father's shadow and assume an identity of his own. But now that Goldust has been outed, what's next for the most bizarre and controversial superstar in WWF history?
I just want to have some fun with this character and take care of my family. You know, that's the main thing. Entertain the people. I mean, when it's time to work and entertain 110% them people like I know I can. And when it's time for family, give them the attention that they need. Goldust's goal is to, every time I walk through that curtain and the people are screaming, hollering, whatever, for me, it's time to turn it on. It's time to put on a show and to entertain them people into where they, when the show's over and they leave the building, they say, man, not taken away from anybody else, but that Goldust. He really was something tonight. Man, that match he had tonight, that was so entertaining. That's what I want. That makes me feel good. It feels real good when you go out there and they're screaming and yelling and to where you can't even barely hear yourself, you know, and goosebumps just thinking about it.
As the son of an American legend, young Dustin found himself competing with fans and the demand of the road for his father's time and attention. Ironically, now Dustin finds himself in a similar position with his three-year-old daughter, Dakota.
In any relationship or any household, I think family should come first. You know, there were things that happened in the past with me that I can't change, you know, that I have to let go and let them be. But I can certainly make sure that for Dakota's sake, they will definitely not happen. I just want that when I'm 70 years old and crippled and sitting in an old rocking chair, lazy boy, watching TV with my clicker, I want her to still feel like she can come sit in my lap. The greatest night of my life was when Terry or Marlena and I were walking to the ring and I saw her to the left there and I didn't know she was in the crowd. And she put her hand on her chest like I do, you know, and she went like that and I went, oh my God, you know, she is a mimic of me, you know. And I remember when I used to do that with my dad, and it was just like, I just looked up to him so much, you know. And here she was looking up to me. And it was the greatest feeling in the world.
Dustin Runnels is living his version of the American dream. Finally emerging from his father's shadow, no one will soon forget the name Goldust, nor Dustin Runnels. But the accomplishments Dustin is most proud of are being a good husband and a loving father. Now, as a grown man, deep inside, there's still a young boy who seeks his father's approval.
If you're watching, Dad, and all those years that I looked up to you and wanted to be just like you, and sitting in the back and where you would you would place me in the back of the arena, and you'd walk to the ring, and I mean, you were just, you were bigger than life. And I wanted to be just like you. And that's why I wanted to live with you, and I didn't have you. And I got that chance. And I became a professional wrestler. It was the hardest damn thing in my entire life to pull it off, but I did. Nobody's gonna take that away from me. Whether I was Dustin Rhodes, and now as I'm Gold Dust, there's nobody on the face of this planet that can do Gold Dust like I can do. That's a fact. So I hope to God that you are proud of me, because I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my family. And I love my family very much. I love you, Dad.
Address number one, the cryptic comments made by Paul Bearer earlier, and please tell us your physical condition after the attack by the Nation of Domination.
Jim Ross, if I can, let me take this time to address Paul Bearer. Paul, there are certain events that have occurred in the dark side that are better off never seeing the light of day. And as far as Farouk and my physical conditioning, I've never won a match with my physical conditioning. It's always been my mental state of mind. And Farouk, you've left me no choice. But now I must do what I thought I never could. I must go to the Vault of Souls and open it and unleash a demon to help me do battle with the force, a Nation of Destruction. You will all rest in peace.
What do you mean by that, JR?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like he's going to get some help.
So after this, you get a four-team elimination match, and it's the New Blackjacks versus the Headbangers versus Furnace and LaFawn versus the tag team champions Owen and Bulldog. And you know what? They do it right back then. Like, you know, back in the old days, the IC champ wouldn't lose a fucking match, and the tag champs wouldn't lose a fucking match until they lost the damn titles. Nowadays, it's, oh, they got pinned, and now there's a title match because the champs fucking lost. Well, the champs win in this one, and keep them strong. Next clip is Bret Hart in the ring with the Hart Foundation, and he tells the Hart Foundation to leave. He has something he wants to say, and he calls out Shawn Michaels. Now, this is what you've heard probably from Bruce and throughout the years, that Bret was, they were supposed to go off air with Shawn Michaels' Sweet Chin Music Bret and knocking him over his wheelchair, and he fucking rambled on and he rambled on, and they fucking went off the air before the payoff. So on the network, they just continue it on. It fades out, fades right back in, and it finishes. So you'll actually hear what happened, and that Sean gets jumped afterwards and everything. And next week, to spoil for you, next week they had Sean even say, yeah, you know, we know you're long-winded. You rambled us right off the air last week.
Everybody here in the war zone, I'm ready for the surprise.
Me too, Brett.
What is it, Hitman?
Brett's been talking about a surprise.
Do me a big favor and just shut up for a couple minutes.
That's you, Ross.
Okay, first, Hart Foundation, Brian, Owen, Davey, Anvil, I want you guys to go back to the dressing room. Go back.
What?
Yeah, I'm sure about it. Go back. I could do this on my own. I want you to go back.
Are you sure about this?
Just go back to the dressing room.
No,
Let's go. Go. Time for me to be a man by myself. I can do it.
I don't think this is a wise move, Ross.
Well, it might not be. I don't understand this. Apparently, the other members of the Hart Foundation certainly are not comfortable with being.
Well, I guess now we've already seen Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of throw Bret out of his wheelchair, a poor crippled invalid like that. What kind of man would do something like that?
Well, Austin did turn Bret over in a wheelchair last night. I don't understand this.
Now, if Stone Cold Steve Austin is somewhere back there in the dressing room area, if you even think about coming out here, just remember that I'll have that pack of lions rip you to shreds, so don't even think about it. Just stay where you're at. Now, as for my little surprise, I just want to say, in person, face to face, I want that gutless little poser, Shawn Michaels, to get his ass out here.
What?
I know you're back there like everybody else, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like the rest of the world, especially you pathetic Americans back there hanging on every single one of my words. And basically, I'm calling you out to get your ass out here.
What do you want to do? Fight him? He's in a wheelchair.
I don't know what he wants.
Well, he's going to get his wish. Listen to the ovation for the Heartbreak Kid. I don't think there's ever been a rivalry that has been talked about as much worldwide as this issue between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Cut the music! It's hurting my ears. Shawn Michaels, the boy toy. You know, there was a time when I just couldn't stand you. But now when I look at you, I realize that I hate your guts. And the reason that I hate your guts, to list all the reasons why I can't stand you and you make me sick. The biggest reason is...
Uh-oh.
Go ahead, take your jacket off. Make yourself at home. It symbolizes something, you taking your jacket off. It's like you're hot, you're cold, you're hot, you're cold. That's the story of your whole career. One minute you're hot and the next you're not. You know what bugs me about you is that that finally dawned on me. It's the way you dance around, you have this attitude, this arrogance, this cockiness. And it finally hit me. That's what you Americans all symbolize. You think you're better than everybody else. You think you can cop this attitude and look down at the rest of the world like you're better than us. Well, it's not true. It's not true at all. Because you're rotten through and through, all the way through to your insides. Just like America, craving your blood and guts and all your violence and crime on the streets, you love it. You love it all, and you hate it when somebody tells you the truth, and you hate it when somebody tells you the truth. Talk about rotting from the insides is just like ancient Rome. America, this great country that should be leading us into the 21st century, but instead,
You're rotting from the inside, just like ancient Rome, and you're going to destroy yourself because you're being controlled and run by scum. Scum like this right here. You know, Shawn Michaels' boy toy, you ripped me off for the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt at WrestleMania 12 in a 60-minute Ironman match. You screwed me out of that title, and you know it. And all you people stood by and let it go. And you did nothing about it. So when I decided to come back, instead of facing me like a man, you didn't have the guts to face me like a man. Instead, you were too busy posing for girly magazines. Dancing around, kissing all the girls. Putting tattoos on yourself and earrings through your navel and your nose and your ears. Shaking your ass and making yourself a horse's ass. A self-professed degenerate. That's what you are. A self-professed degenerate. And when we talk about role models, you led the World Wrestling Federation. You took that World Wrestling Federation championship belt in a reign of decadence. You know, Shawn Michaels, the biggest thing that bothers me about you is that you didn't have the guts to face me this year at WrestleMania. You didn't have the guts to face me one-on-one. You go ahead and talk about all the things. You talk about my mother and my family and how I signed for more money than any other wrestler in the history of the World Wrestling Federation and how I'm controlled by the almighty dollar. Who isn't controlled by the almighty dollar? That's a bunch of BS and you know it. The $1 million question. That's what Vince McMahon said to you last week. The $1 million question. That's all it was, is $1 million. Well, Shawn Michaels, it should concern you what I get paid. And it shouldn't concern you whether I got my mother and my father and the rest of my family in the front row. And it shouldn't concern you anything that I do. What should concern you is whether you really believe deep down in your guts and in your heart, whether you're actually as good as me. And you pathetic, sick, violent people know,
ladies and gentlemen, keep our cameras rolling,
that this
so
piece
long.
Of crap right here was never as... I don't think so. Talk about family values. You'd like to hit me, but you don't have the insights to do it.
Thank you.
keep all this stuff in there for you guys, like just the chaos, because it's just fun to relive. And I mean, what else you got to do, right? You can listen to this shit. So that's everybody just jumping Sean and him trying to get out of the ring without being, you know, caught and running around from the foundation getting him. And that's how they go off the air. So that is your Back to the Monday Night War show this week. And Sunday will be Slamboree to listen to. So please do tune in for that. We should have the boy back for that show next week. He's very busy, as you well know. Yeah. I've been Cav Manning, as usual. You can go find all my nonsense, because I do a show where I talk on my show, too. And it is called The Wrestlingus Show, and our Twitter is at Real Wrestlingus. So if you want to go there and listen to a lot of nonsense, and guess what? It's called Wrestlingus Show. We don't talk about wrestling. Because nowadays product fucking blows. If something's good, we'll fucking mention it. But guess what? It's 2 hours of fucking nonsense. So look us up, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good stuff. The Wrestlingus Show, and it's spelled Wrestling Us for you people who don't know. All right, I'm your old pal Cav, and hope I got you through your work day or whatever you're doing today and made your day a little bit easier. That's what gets me off on doing this, because I listen to podcasts, and it helps me get through my fucking day. So I hope I can help you guys get through yours. All right. Later, kids.